The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
I'm out. I'm in. Jumping red lights again. But always right on time. Something I cannot believe. One more thing I cannot believe. Godfather of Internet Radio. R-A-D-I-O, the Bard of Broadcasting, me. I'm here. I'm also the third man, and I'm the vegetable man. Vegetable man. I'm here, a man whose name adorns the title of the show, Cthulhu Chronicles. Oh boy, I never thought that name would be connected to something like this. Stay with us. Ice cap to the ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. I don't think Shakespeare ever rhymed Othello with bordello, but I'm not sure. One more thing I'm just not sure about, but I'm sure here, and I'm telling you, it takes wild horses anymore. What, to keep me away? I don't know. I'm just... By the time this show starts, now that I'm whatever age they tell me I am in the sequence of numbers that are collected by mankind to be able to count anything, no less human lives and how long they've been here, I get more and more into into, I'm not into anything. I'm more and more distant. I'm out there more and more. And when come time for this show, my particular schedule, which is none of your business, by the way, happens to bring me to a almost to a halt in terms of lots of work I have to do till Thursday. So Thursday, I try to take care of my normal things, you know, calculating bills and budgeting and what have you. And I've been involved in a very, very big I told everybody from the beginning of the show to, and I'll tell them till the end, what's that? Dust? You can say very, say very. Don't say very, 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 very. You know, adding verys to using the word very to modify or to increase the value of the next thing is stupid because there's no particular measuring stick. So I'm very busy on a project which I have not told you about and I'm not going to tell you about. Now, so that added to the things I have to do, but still by Thursday, not counting that, barring that, Thursday leaves me at a, it leaves me adrift. A plum, afloat, now I'm just a plunty. Just looking for words to begin with A. A plunt, a plunt, a plunt? There's no a plunt. A plum, a plum, a plum. So I get time to ponder. And I don't like to ponder, but I can't help it. My mind just ponders, and it does not stop. Long time ago, and I mean a long time ago, when I was doing yoga, I did yoga, yeah, every day. Every single day, I sat. I had my special towel. They say you have to have your special towel. I didn't do that. Look, this wasn't any kind of spiritual awakening. This was lowering my blood pressure, relaxing. And when I was in Hollywood, so very high pressure, high stress filled, jam packed power hour, lifestyle. So you might get my towel. Same towel all the time. I don't know. They told you to use the same towel. And of course, the problem with that is if you do it every day, what are you going to do? You're going to wash it sometime and you'll wash it. You forget. And then you got to get on the wet towel. Come on. You got to bend the rules here and there. And I'd sit there and I'd do my various, I'd do this routine, which included positions that had titles, being they tell you, you know, the corpse. There was one that was the Kosciuszko Bridge. I think that was one of them. And then these are various yoga positions. And again, this is not, I'm not talking about 2 hours of meditation here. I'm not even talking about a half hour of moving because yoga and the physical part of yoga where, you know, you get your muscles relaxed by putting yourself into positions and staying in that position. Not a lot of movement in yoga. Then you relax, do the corpse. I guess you can imagine that that's a very still position. And I would do all that. Okay, so fine. So one day, here's a story, and I'm going to mention the product too. One day, for some reason or another, I had banquet chicken, fried chicken, banquet fried chicken. And I'm not saying this is always going to make everyone sick. If it did that, they'd take it off the shelves, I think. So I had this, you just heat it up. It's already, you know, it's pre-made. It's frozen is what it is. Frozen is, that's how it's prepared. And then you heat it up. And, you know, if you broil it, you make it, you're trying to make it crispy, but it's never like fresh. I mean, just cooked fried chicken. Anyway, they call it banquet. I don't know why. I don't know why I had it, where I got it. Probably got it at the Mayfair, the Boys Market. These were markets where I shopped in Hollywood. The Mayfair, the Boys Market, Ralph's. Ralph's was the biggest. So anyway, I had that. And you know, you don't know what happens when you get sick, do you? Right? Because you can eat the same thing 20 times and then like the sixth time you get sick and the other 14 times hit the man in my head and you're fine, you know. So I had this banquet chicken. And then I guess I had it too close to when it was time to do my yoga. So I took my towel out and I'm sitting there doing whatever it is, half lotus, and Lois Lane and these other various positions I'm doing. And suddenly, when it's time to just take that deep breath and sit and then close your eyes, you do perform meditation in the routine. Well, I was given to nausea, and I realized that this minimal amount of movement, just doing these positions, it, what'd it do? Well, it, you know, now it could, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe if I had done nothing at that same particular time that I started to feel the nausea, I would have felt it anyway. Oh, I thought a spider was walking on my hand because I felt something. And it's not, it's the tassel. What is the tassel doing on? Well, I got this, you know, sweatshirt with a hood on. They call it a hoodie. I'm not going to call it a hoodie, okay? I hate say hoodie. It sounds stupid. And to me, so I don't use it. Even if it becomes the way to say it. I don't adapt to certain slang in the language. Yes, you got your beverage? In the old days, we would talk about all the different beverages you can have. Should have three, because three is the divine number. So what's going on here now? Anyway, I got sick. Yoga. But I did it again. You know, that's totally neurotic, and I know what that's like, because I grew up like that. Something would happen to you in a situation that was common to you. You would do something every day or every other day, whatever. And then this one day you did it, you were given to some catastrophe. I don't mean, you know, the house, obviously, nothing. I say catastrophe. And I don't mean, you know, something happens out of the ordinary that's negative. You get sick or you gotta, you know, it's like you play with the, actually you play with blocks. That's like kid stuff, right? I mean, if you're doing, let's say you're making model planes, I guess people don't do that anymore, you know, because you're not allowed to have the glue. Oh my, I gotta find that, someone asked me about that, cause you know, we're played various shows, or pieces of various shows we've done in the past. And I'm going to do a little bit of that on this show too. And someone asked me, do the show where you and your father make a model plane and inadvertently get high? Cause in those days you could use, but they called it airplane glue. And wow, where would that be? See, I have to look for these things, but that was a good one. I do this and I start to do this because we've been on longer than 10 years, but I mean, it's remarkable to me that we're in our, you know, maybe what? I don't know, maybe our 21st year. And there's so much that we've done. I know I cannot replicate a lot of the things I've done, even when I talk about those instances and those situations again. So it's best for me, if I do have the recording of me, to do that, to play it. So today I'm going to go back to, I'll tell you what we're going to do in a bit. We got plenty of time. So you do something like make a paper airplane, a plastic airplane. You put it together. I don't know if you youngins know what that was, but we used to buy these model kits and you'd get glue It was legal in those days. You'd get glue and you would get the instructions and you would make an airplane. They'd show you the picture. They'd give you the instructions. They told you put this number one here. Okay, right. So let's say you do that a lot. And then the one time you do it, you do this one time you do it, something happens. Maybe a piece of plastic that is, you're supposed to push a piece of plastic into like the plane. You get boats too, cars, boats, planes. That's what, you know, they had all sorts of things. So let's say you're trying to poke that into the little hole where it belongs because that's what the instructions told you to do. And it pinches you and you bleed. So you pinch yourself and draw blood. Now the next time you do, the next time you do that, the next time you make another plane or a car or whatever you're making, it's going to be on your mind that time you did it. And you may inadvertently cut yourself again because you go, oh no, this is the thing that I do. This is the thing that I do is so generic. It's stupid to say. This is my hobby. I don't know. What do we say? Let me take another sip of thing here. What? Why is this happening? Happy spring, by the way. Perhaps then you do it again. You remember that particular instance. It's like the next couple of times that you drive a car after you have an accident, whether that be a good or a bad accident. I don't know how that works. So anyway, I saw that weird person just came up on Skype. I don't even know that. Why do I, that's another thing. You know, it's not a called itinerary. It is an itinerary, but it's a, what do they do when you, it starts with an I. It's like, you gotta look through all your stuff. I don't go through this stuff. I can't imagine. This is some of the stuff this is a topic we are going to talk about. I think, and that is the cluttering of the brain from the internet. And I don't know if it's going to work actually. There's an article I read and I said, let's do this and then we'll do the other thing. What's the other thing? We're going to go back to 10 years ago. We're going to go back to March 13th. Y2K plus 8. And this is a show about, okay, Zeppelins. Zeppelins. And I'm not going to say anything more about it because I'm going to play that. We did a show about Zeppelins. No guests or anything. So that's what the Godfather of Internet Radio did then. But there's a number of things that are attached to my, this article I'm going to read to you about your brain and stuff. How people are getting, I don't know. We'll look at it and you'll see. We'll look at it. You'll listen to me and we'll talk about it. Okay. But we're going to do that show. People had asked me said, you did a number of shows about things that, for instance, when I found the Zeppelin show, luck. I did a show on luck. Luck. Just luck. We're going to do that again. Not today. I mean, other times. I'm going through this here. I did one, the things men want from women. And these were all good sources. These were things I did and we just talked about. It's not like, it wasn't a tutorial. It wasn't it wasn't an essay. I wasn't teaching. I was nothing. It was just these things. Based on articles or things that were in the news or what have you. But a lot of it was generic because when I say generic, I mean, I just discuss it, talk about it, see what comes up about it, what you agree, you don't agree. It wasn't necessarily a topic. It was just something more you could investigate if you cared about it. That's why. Because this show would never, ever, ever, see, I did it now. Never, ever. Say never, it means never. Okay? Don't say never, ever as if never is not eternal. The word never means it's eternal. Never means nothing's going to happen at any time, anytime, anywhere, anywhere. See, I'm doing it again. There's no way that it becomes more intense if you say never ever. This is not a new glitch in language. People have been doing this forever. See, now I didn't say forever and ever. Now you do those kind of things in a song, and Randy Bartis or whatever his name is can get in and go forever and ever, amen, forever and ever. That's just wrong. Now, for a guy who talked on this, a show like this, for like 2 hours at a time, and then even when there were guests, I talked, even when there were co-hosts, I talked, I should be one who says, oh, what are you doing, wasting your breath? Yes, you don't waste your breath. It doesn't matter. The point of it is getting yourself expressed. And that was just bad English. The point is expressing yourself, and you do it at the minimum possible, because we have a wonderful language with great words. Now I sound like I'm teaching, but I'm, and you know, if you learn something, that's another thing. If you learn something from someone and they're not a teacher, and I'm not going to do air quotes because we're not on television, but I think you know what I'm saying here, then that person taught you something. Doesn't mean it's a teacher. You learn something from everywhere, everyone, everything. Then you become a neo-postmodernist. We're not going to go into that right now. So here's what's going to go on. The Zeppelins. We're going to talk about Zeppelins. I talked about Zeppelins on for a great deal of time on this show, and we're going to plug that show in a while. Right now, I'm going to tell you about what happens coming up after that, which would be other shows. Next week, the 29th, on the show of 329, 3 being March, 29 being the day after 28 and before 30, a Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is it standard? Are we at standard? No, we're daylight. We're saving daylight? What are we doing now? Yeah, but I think we're daylight savings. I never... Yeah, standard, it gets dark early, right? Okay. It's important. And it always has been important for me to just... Even regardless of my tinnitus, which just... Every once in a while, you have tinnitus, and every once in a while, you hear it. I know some people go absolutely out of their minds, like William Shatner. I don't know what they did to him to shut it up, but... I don't go out of my mind, but I don't always hear it. But once in a while, a high pitched, it goes up like 2 octaves, the buzzing, and it's like, it goes up. I don't know if that was 2 octaves, because I don't just know I don't have perfect pitch, but it just happened. Okay, March 29th. I don't know what's going to happen next week. A couple of things I want to happen. Are a couple of people who I've been trying to get on the show again. One of them being a Mr. I only got Dr. Waldor on. I keep saying that, and I think I wrote to him. I think I wrote to him. I'm kicking the can down the road here. I got to watch that. I never played kick the can, by the way. This game that seems to be some kind of, I guess it was the Midwest where they played kick the can. Why? They couldn't afford balls. We always had balls in Brooklyn. We kicked the ball. We do a lot of things with the ball, but we never got a can and said, let's play kick the can. And you know, you could really get hurt kicking a can, because those things are, you don't kick them. Well, even if you kick them before, like say they're empty, let's say it's a can of like 7-Up. Why I said 7-Up, I don't know. A can of 7-Up, you drink the 7-Up, now you're going to play kick the can. So you get the can, and even in the days before, they were really thin aluminum, right? Before that, when they were regular metal cans. They were metal, right? Weren't they? Yeah. They were more dangerous. Well, I don't know if it was more dangerous than aluminum. Either way, you could hurt yourself. So you kick the can, and the can dents. And the other person kicks the can, and the can dents. Because you're not doing this with your bare feet. And if you are, then you're even going to have more of an opportunity to be cut. So kick the can's a stupid game that can hurt you. And I don't even know the rules of kick the can. But I do know the expression, I'm kicking the can down the road. Because you want to, let's say you, that of course means I'm procrastinating. If I want to pick up the can and throw it away, because the can should be thrown away, shouldn't be on the road. The can a metaphor for whatever you have to do. In this case, the metaphor is you could pick the can up, throw it out, you want to kick it down the road. But if you kick it down the road, right, then you could eventually, I don't have to pick it up now, I kick it, it's over there. I go over there, I kick it. I don't have to pick it up now, I kick it, it's over there. That's the general, and that's how I understand it, about kicking a can down the road as a metaphor. I never kicked the can down the road in actuality either. I'd pick up the can and throw it out. Kick the can down the road? What road? Even down the street. In fact, in Brooklyn, no one picked up the can. They didn't have to kick it. I mean, really, not procrastinated. Of course, people procrastinated when I was growing up. The great procrastinators of all time grew up in the ethnic neighborhoods of Brooklyn, New York. Yes. But they didn't pick up the can if it was on the street. There must have been, and there may still be, other towns that are not as charged ethnically as places like deep urban communities like Brooklyn, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston. I can go on and on, but I won't. Urban areas. Tallahassee, you know, I was in Tallahassee once, and it wasn't so urban. Miami is now, there's an urban. But the thing is that, you know, I don't know about that, but in Brooklyn, there's a can, someone would drink the 7-Up. Again, I use a 7-Up. And remember, although you can't remember because you didn't live back then, think of this. When you went into like a grocery store, they would have a freezer and you want a drink, so you'd get like one can or in those days, there were more bottles than there were cans. Okay? So, there were more bottles than there were cans of things like soda. Let's say it together. Ready? There were more bottles of soda than there were cans. I changed it so you got confused. Now, the bottles nobody threw on the floor or threw out in a garbage can. Why? Because you'd get money back for the bottles. Now, there's another show that I'll find sometime, and that is the used bottle legal. And I'm trying to make a title for this. What they used to do was they'd give you a deposit. You get 2 cents or whatever it is for certain bottles if you bring them back. So people didn't throw the bottles. If a bottle fell and broke on the ground, though, that was that. It stayed there, you know. But cans had no value whatsoever once you drank the contents. So even if you played kick the can, and nobody played kick the can, I'm telling you, I was in many neighborhoods when I was a young'un in the urban jungle of Brooklyn, New York, and there were no kick the can games. But people did procrastinate or kick the can down the road. So you didn't throw out the bottles. But in Brooklyn, what the heck? Oh, someone just sent me a mail. I get the mail up there. I don't even know. What the heck is this? Who are these people? Boozy Badaz? will be Friday night. Why am I at the Cotillion? What's the Cotillion? Why am I getting this mail? Doors open at 7. Okay, if there's a place called the Cotillion in your town, Boozy Badaz will be there Friday night. If you're listening to this on the live stream, otherwise, don't go because it's done. It's over. Boozy Badazzle, whatever. So the cans, you can get hurt. But I imagine that kick the can was played because you couldn't afford a ball. Right? Now, you know what some people used to do? No, you know, kids used to practice lifting a puck by using cans. Yeah? You'd squash the can, and again, if you get hit with a puck going 40, 50 miles an hour, and I knew guys who could lift a puck, street hockey could lift a puck, it must have gone 80, 90 miles an hour. A puck, which is a hard substance, hard rubber. That knock you in the face, and believe me, teeth gone, nose broken, eyes dumped into the, pushed into the back of your head, whatever. Cans. That'd be very dangerous. Because one of those flying cans, when it was squashed or not, they're ragged. Once they crush them, they're ragged. And sometimes the aluminum ones, like, they open up. The, it's so thin. It's okay. And those are ragged, points there. And they'll get you in the eye or the head or the cheek or the lips or the ear or the brow or the top of the head or the temple or the chin or the neck. You know the parts. I don't have to explain. It is possible to hit any part of that. So that's the aluminum. But they were heavier. You could get hurt even with the other ones. So I never played kick the can. It's a stupid game. I played some stupid games in my time. Don't get me wrong. And I'm sure you do now and then, because I do. I can get myself wrong, which is not proper English and doesn't really mean anything. Although there was an expression, she done me wrong. But that comes out of the blues category. That comes out of blues. She done me wrong. That kind of English comes out of blues lyrics from the lower class people who started the blues. And was, you know, there was that just, that real, and that's not necessarily urban, because the blues aren't necessarily urban. There's urban blues. Yeah. Where was I? I was talking about next week. I have no idea who's here next week on the 29th. But we will try to get somebody, and if not, nobody. We'll do something else. Or we'll run the show about the airplane glue. Or we'll run a show. What other shows do I have? Or a show about luck. Or the show about men about women. Or there's another one I want to do. I want to do one show. Oh, forget about that one. And there's other guests that we had on, too. We'll do these various things, okay? They will be done. I will be done. My, and there's another drink here. I have coffee. I wanted to drink the coffee while it was still hot. Because if I leave it here and we talk. I talk for an hour, and then the coffee's cold. Even in this, which is this doesn't have a name. It's, you know, it's one of those metal. It's not a can. Kick the coffee cup. Let's play kick the coffee cup. Kick the thermos. It's almost a thermos because it's supposed to stay warm in here. That's baloney. And baloney should not be equated with turds or crap. And where did that start too? You know, baloney, I guess because it's fat. And yet people will say you're full of the S word. I don't like using that word. So I got rid of it. You know, you can get rid of words in your vocabulary by not saying them and being conscious of what you say. I did that. Once in a while, I will say it only to make a point that is expressed best by using the S word. But I don't do that. Why is baloney equal to crap? I mean, you're talking crap, turd, feces, right? It's when someone says, you're full of S word. Maybe you could say that. Right? Which means everything you are full of, everything in you, is disposable excrement. Did I say excrement? Is that what I meant? Feces. Right? Now, the same thing is intended to be meant if you say If you say, you're full of baloney and hot air. And I don't understand why hot air, baloney, and feces have the same value in that context. To you? Nobody eats a feces sandwich, nor do they eat a hot air sandwich. You eat a bologna sandwich, and bologna is not all fat. Bologna, or some people call it bologna. I wonder if that came from urban. I wonder if that came from New York, calling it bologna. I don't even know the origin of that. So much I don't know. Don't tell me you do, because you don't. If you know a particular thing or something else that I don't know, then perhaps. But I think it equals, it balances it in the end. What end? The end when we don't talk about it anymore. Bologna, hot air, and feces all mean the same thing when you tell someone they are full of any one of those things. Now that's odd. Isn't that odd? And we don't even think about it. So if someone says you're full of bologna, it's not so bad. In its strict definition, not bad. You could have eaten too much bologna. But they're not saying that. They're saying the bologna is crap. The crap and hot air is crap. Now, you need hot air. During the winter, without hot air, your house wouldn't, or apartment, wherever you live, you'd freeze. You need hot air. You could be full of hot air and be very healthy and tell the truth. That's the thing. Baloney does not make you lie. It doesn't make you say things that are worthless. And yet you're full of worthless stuff, which is, of course, feces, turds, manure, or in French, I forgot, merde. Yeah, I remembered. So think twice what you tell somebody they are full of. Hit my return. So think twice. Say you're full of cream of wheat. Yeah, full of cream of wheat. Now that anything you say the person is full of, you are meaning that that stuff is no good. False. Crap. Right? See the things we do and say that we do not think about. I don't know what happens on March 29th, except that it's very close to the month ending. But on April 5th, as promised, Marla Martinson will be back on this show. When Marla Martinson was here a while ago, again, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, she said she was going to do an angel reading. Marla is a matchmaker. She's also talking about yoga. She does yoga. And she also teaches people how to help heal themselves, like just flowing their hands around. That's called what, Nietzsche? No, that's Nietzsche was the philosopher. It's called something else. And she also, she leaves her body. Sorry, I just had a thought about Marla leaving her body and where it went. She's in Los Angeles though. And Marla said, she would give me a free angel reading. You can get an angel reading. MarlaMartinson.com. She's got a whole bunch of, and you sell buy her books. You know, you get into that stuff, do it. And there's all this weird stuff. And I say weird, that's editorial. It's all this kind of spiritual, I can't touch it, things that, you know, energy, forces, spirits, all that stuff. So she said she did angel readings. We talked about angel readings and she said she would do one for me. You can get one. I think she charges $15 for what? She talks to an angel. So you have to believe that Marla Martinson talks to an angel. She somehow knows the number or the code or the magic words. I don't know how to do that stuff, but she knows. And the angel's going to tell her things we don't know what about me. And even I, who do not believe in this stuff, I'm not going to say she's full of baloney. it's good topic. Isn't it a good thing? A thing is a noun. It's a good noun, person, place, or thing, to have us talk about. And she's so delightful, and she's very lighthearted. And if you're going to be into that kind of stuff, no matter what you're in, I hope you're lighthearted. Although the heart is a muscle, and again, I said lighthearted, which you can interpret any way you'd like to. Or you could say I'm full of hot air. I'm full of hot air baloney, and hey, you could tell that to somebody. You know what? You're full of S-word baloney and hot air. You're full of baloney covered in S-word that you eat in the hot air when it's hot out. Have I mentioned my name is Frank Cotolo? I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and I'm chronicling, and I'm going to do something, a topic, and I've already gone into various. I got enough here for three. I'm not going to be here for 3 hours. Forget about it. Sometimes forget about it just means forget about it. That'll be April 5th. Now, the rest of April, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th, I've no idea. I'm trying for some guests, some people we haven't heard from in a while, like Dr. Woldor, like Dr. Popoli, like Charles Dennis, regulars. Well, not regulars if they're not on that much, but people who want to be on here and there. People who support this show and the show supports. See, I'm not that difficult a historian. Dr. Footenstein, that's what I called that guy. Yeah, Well, I can't go back. This is the other problem about being on so many years. And that is that I repeat myself, and I don't know to whom I repeat myself because the audience has changed. In 20 years, I guess that's two generations. Is it? Or is that just one big generation? When I started this show, baby boomers were just about 50. So there was one generation behind. Who was the next generation? What were they, the Gen X? What was next? I don't know. I've done that too. I don't remember. My point is this. People listen to the show for a while, and then you had to listen to the show online because there were no podcasts or whatever. Then there were podcasts, and you can listen to it when it wasn't on the air and when it's on the air. And then all hell broke loose. And that's another entire show, which I don't think I'm going to get to that. I brought my Android down with me. I'm going to do an entire show on, what's it called? Periscope. And now I mean I'll do it on Periscope, but I might. I might do the show while I'm on Periscope. Okay? That's a rarity. And I just thought of that too. I thought of just talking about it. I'm going to do that. Okay, because it's absolutely nuts. Now, I've been on Periscope while I've been on the air. Jeremy Long, when he was here, and here and there when he was here, and when he was here, would come. He'd go, let's go on Periscope. You know, we get like 3-4 people would come and go, what are you doing? Well, we're on the radio. And they go like, what? That sounded fun. But I'm going to do a show about Periscope, and because this is just part of what's going on here, which makes so many things that used to be special and exclusive moot. Before this show, something, I don't know. I have a track phone. I've told you about this. I don't have an iPhone, a smartphone. I have a track phone, one of these stupid old men phones. Now, the only I'll tell you why, because I don't use it that much. So I text here and there, and in an emergency, a phone call, in an emergency, and I take it around with me. Okay. I don't do what other people do. At home, I have the interweb and my computers, and I have now, I did buy an Android tablet, whatever it's called. So I can get to various things here and there. But the track phone had all my contacts, and it had any number of messages. I don't know why I kept certain messages. Once in a while, I like to look at a message someone wrote to me. Oh, that was nice. Yeah. Or, oh, look what they said. What, I don't know. And it's also because I don't clean things up. I'll do that a lot. I don't go in and reorganize or get rid of what I need of. There's just a lot. I'm not a hoarder. I am not a hoarder. I just don't get around to doing a lot of stuff. So things pile up. Today, for some reason, the phone is locked. It's locked. And it says, hit the key on the side to unlock it so I could use it. So I don't know which key, but so I'm clicking everything I possibly can. I do get it, and it goes, okay, you are now unlocked. So I go into it, and look, there's no messages. I thought there were messages there that I had kept. And you know what else? No, what else? All the contacts are gone. It purged everything. Except 911 and 411. It's probably, I know, someone's out there going, it's your SIM card. Your SIM card's probably going bad. Yeah, but the whole thing is bad. I just wanted this stupid phone for that. And you know what? You can't get this anymore. You can hardly get the minutes anymore. Because TrackPhone has these particular types of phones, the old crappers. This is the third one I've had. You can't even buy them. I went into Best Buy and I said, I want to buy some minutes. Can I have six? I need 60 minutes for my track phone. Again, a kid. I say he's a kid. Yeah, because there's kids compared to me. And he goes, we don't have that. They don't have that anymore. We stopped carrying that back in 02. And he doesn't say, not two. He doesn't say that. Kids don't say that. They're called the Geek Squad, that you go there for the geeks. They call them, they're proud of being called geeks and nerds. Makes sounds. Sounds like drips, huh? So you can't even buy, and I got 65 minutes left on this crapper. Now I think I can send messages, but it just did away. To who? My contacts are all gone. Luckily, I am from a generation that backs things up because I was raised to write longhand too. I got shows about writing, whatever they call cursive and all that stuff they tried to teach us in those days. But I mean, I write things down. Write this down like Dr. Fablianek in college told me to do. Write this down. And I do that. So whenever I had a telephone number or an email, I'd go to my composition book, which is what I tell you to do. I suggest, again, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a dictator, I'm not an anthropologist. I'm just telling you, you do that. And now, so I sat back and I went, oh darn, all my contacts, all the phone numbers. But I sat easily and I said, well, the inconvenience amounts to the phone itself, because now the contacts are not there, and if I wanted to look at an old message, it's not there. But I have those numbers in one of the many composition books that I have in my possession and still use, those numbers and the emails, although they are not alphabetically organized, they're not organized at all. They're just on pages in the back of the composition book. That's where I put things like passwords, phone numbers. So if I want, then what are you going to do, carry around? Am I going to carry these composition books wherever I go if I still have a track phone? I think I'm going to have to get a track phone that I'm going to have to step up because, and I'll tell you why, not because I want to go on the interweb or do anything, but I'm going to have to get a smartphone, going to have to step up to another level so that when I'm out driving alone, when I go out somewhere and somebody, you know, because now that's an essential thing. So I'm going to have to get one of the higher, I don't know if higher is the right, some of the more sophisticated ones. You know, they said pay as low as $9.99 a month. You know, I didn't even pay every once in a while I'd pay $20 to get 60 minutes, and when they'd give you 120 for 60, they'd give you double. I don't know why they do that. Because it's just a marketing thing. So if you buy 60, they give you 120. Why doesn't 120 just cost what a 60 would cost? And then they don't have to give you twice. I don't know. I don't run these companies. But that happens. So I'm going to have to get another one. And then I have to go to all my composition books. Now I say this with such drudgery because it's like, I don't know when I'm going to just sit down and go, you know what I'll do today? Here's why. Because I do for a living, per se, what I like to do. So when I have to do it, I never feel like, oh, gosh, I got to work. Because I do it. So I meet the deadlines and I do it. But when it's something like that, time to organize all your contacts on your phone, I'm like, yeah. Maybe one of these days. Or I don't feel like it right now. I think I want to have a potato chip. Or I don't feel like it right now. I think I'd rather write something. I'll do that. Yeah, because it always goes back to that. Oh, I better write. I want to stay ahead. This is why I'm so ahead with stuff. If you go to 148.ca/Frank, you will read stuff I wrote last year. I don't have to write. Even there's one a week, there's one blog a week, and I'm done for 2018, and that's how many months away till it's over. I even have a couple of months for 2019. I do that rather than organize my emails or my phone things. But you know, crisis comes along. In life, there is drama, and drama is conflict. So I gotta take care of that. It's a very busy month between now and April with taxes and various things. I own a house, and that was going to be part of what I was going to talk about. But I'm going to make that an entire show. Frank the Martian. That's it. The Martian and I, I'm going to call it. See? I got a title for it. I don't know. I just had these ideas. And I kept myself. You know what? Maybe I'll talk about this. Now, because I saw that movie, The Martian, with Matt Damon. I had seen it before, but this time, I only get through halfway this time. It's a trial. But I'm not reporting to you about it or reviewing it. I'm just saying it brought up something I want to talk about. So that's going to happen. So I'm talking about shows that we could do, that I can do when there is no guest. So there's the Martian and I. So I'll, right. Periscope, and I can't, you know, it's Periscope and I, on Periscope, we'll call it Up Periscope. There you go. Up. And you know, if you go to, CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com page, there is a title for every show in the headline. I don't know what I wrote this time. Oh, Web Brain. And I don't even know if we're going to get to that. Web Brain. One word, made up a word. Web Brain. See, I took the web, only one B, and made it WebBrain. Maybe we'll do that show next time. Because look at this. We're only like an hour, and the first hour is gone. And I want to play for you the Zeppelins. Not the Led Zeppelins. Well, there's another phrase, okay? People don't know that. So a lot of people, even in the generation that loved Led Zeppelin, I am in that generation, and I'm not crazy about that generation, or the group Led Zeppelin, they don't even know what that means. They think it's lead is heavy. Okay, it does mean that. It's a metaphor. Zeppelin is what you're going to hear about when I talk about Zeppelins. So, but they don't know that's a phrase that means heaviness. You know, fell down, it fell like a Led Zeppelin, because a Zeppelin floats and it's lead. It doesn't float. It doesn't fly. It falls. It crashes. Wake up. It's night. It never meant more than it does. My name is Frank Cotolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Now you know everything I need. You need to know. You don't even need to know it. Go get a beverage. There's another hour of this. And you're going to hear me from 10 years ago. Talking about Zeppelins. Yeah. Right? You, do I have to tell you that's unique? Because you know it. Tonight, or anytime during the week, or maybe the rest of your life, where will you go on a podcast? The engine moving. On a podcast, where would you go on a, I'm telling you, on a podcast, where would you go on a, where else? AM radio, FM radio, or anywhere else that people do these things. Periscope, where are you going to go and hear about Zeppelins? And if you do go somewhere and they have it now, they have their topics in alphabetical order, you're going to have to go through all the letters. Those are the things. The things. Amazing. That's my water heater. The engine of, not engines, I call it an engine. It's called a motor. Is it called a motor or an engine? I don't know. This is why I'm the Bard of Broadcasting, okay? I got, you know, that's why. What I'm going to do is send you over to me. Then I'll be back to institute the final minutes of the show. I don't know how long this lasts, actually, this routine. But I don't think there's anything else in there. Now, remember, it's dated, so you might hear some things. I don't think there's commercials and stuff in there. I think we were selling Shortstop jeans at the time. But I don't think that's there. Whatever is there, you'll hear. So if it's dated, don't worry about it. Not that you're going to worry about it. You're going to sit there and go, oh, no, it's not. It's dated. Oh, no. Everything does not go without saying. Okay. So we're going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to send that. I'm going to find that moment. I think it's, what is it? I wrote it down. I'm going to go to 1 hour and 5 minutes into the show. Let's see. Oh, I got to do this.
This
show. I'm not going to do the beginning of it. I'm going to go to 105, right? Is that where I'm going? Seek. Come on, where is it? 101. Here. 36, 48, 58, 102, 103, 104, 105.16. I wonder if that would be good enough. 105.16. This is the fifth minute after the first hour 10 years ago here on Cotolo Chronicles. Let me tell you before I go to that, though, and to the bathroom, because I have to dispose some bodily waste. Because why? Because I was replenishing my precious bodily fluids while I was talking here. In this case, it was coffee. Although I don't know. Well, coffee's a diuretic. So I think it, it makes you pee. Sure. You're full of urine. How about that one? You're full of urine. Nobody ever says that. Full of urine. But yet they'll say things like, if you're drunk, they'll go, you're pissy-eyed. Now, nobody, you pissy-eyed? You know why? Wait, you know why I think that is? I think I just realized that one. Because your eyes can turn yellow when you get drunk. You have this, like, jaundiced eye. Maybe, I don't know. Look it up. Where? You got an internet, don't you? You have the entire world at your fingertips to look up things. Books are still available. And Amazon, Frank Cotolo, look me up there. You can get good books, funny books, digital books, so they're not expensive. And like I said, in like $25, you could buy everything. Even go over to Lulu, get the two Molotov memoirs. You get the books over there at, that's Blurb. Go to Blurb to get the Molotov memoir duet. Go to Lulu to get the essays and whatever those other ones are, including The Return of Turk Bahrain, which is just a detective stories, very unique detective stories. Because they're unique. What did I do? I didn't rob them. I didn't steal them. They're mine. And you can read them. That's why I put them in a book. That's why anybody puts anything in a book, so you could read them. You and you and you and you and you and you. And there's other stuff in there, too. You could do that. Buy them, even though there's no holiday coming up. Buy them. Write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com, and I'll write back to you. Where else? Oh, boy, the Facebook. I'm on the Facebook, but I go there very rarely now, and, of course, that's all in the news. One more thing. So there's a lot of topics we can get into, a lot of guests we can get back as the year ensues. Let me just say this other thing. If you're on the live feed right now, and you know you're on the live feed right now, if it's Thursday night, and you're listening on the headquarters at SRN, if not, you're listening to the show as it appears, as it's rebroadcast on any number of shows, stations, including True Talk Radio twice a day, and various other ones. Look them up. Look them up. But after, if you're listening on the live stream, Mr. Thomas Savino will be here with Savino Veritas. It's a fine show. It's a lot of fun. The man produces some wacky, wacky satirical stuff. He's a man of our time. Thanking you for your time this time. Until next time. My name is Frank Catolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. Let me give you me back then. Talking about the Zeppelins. And then I'll come back before it's all over. And we'll do whatever we do. Here we go. From March 13th. Is it? Slay. Yeah, now. All right. No, now you're going to slate it. Right now I'm going to slate it. Big deal. You know, I don't even know. I didn't know until I looked at it again because it's not marked or cataloged correctly that it was the 13th of March. So I had to look that up. Because it doesn't say that on the file. So why do I think that I'm going to remember I replayed it today? I don't. Here I am.
Well, I don't want to go into why we know that. I have already mentioned somewhere David Mamet in this show, M-A-M-E-T. Write this down, Dr. Fablionic said. And put it in your notebook and see what happens. Many, many years ago, if you're under 50, I don't know what you know about Zeppelins. Z-E-P-P-E-L-I-N-S, Zeppelins. But, you know, blimps, as they're called. Blimps. Everybody knows pretty much what a blimp is. When I was a kid, to see a blimp was a big thing. Because a blimp is a big thing. A Zeppelin. Let me tell you something about Zeppelins. Blimps. Zeppelins are named, first of all, after who? Anyone know? You want to look this? Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin. Did you know that? They say German. This is not like the Volkswagen. Wagon of the people, car of the people, right? Zeppelin's named after Ferdinand von Zeppelin. You will ride in the big hot air thing. Then go after a moose and squirrel. And it really wasn't German, was it? Frederick von Zeppelin, who helped to make these things available. What are they? In their heyday, they were considered luxurious, and people would dine in them. This is a strange vehicle because I guess 90% of this vehicle, if not more, is just what keeps it up. It's like having a plane that just has two wings and nothing else. Okay? And just a little space for a couple of people. Because that's what it is. It's still a slow moving flying machine. And it used to be used by Europeans for entertainment and the elite. It was a place that you could go in the Zeppelin today and have lunch in somewhere thousands of feet above and just float. Because there's never anything There was never any such thing as a Zeppelin race, as there was. It would have been very, very small, very long. You know, Zeppelins, they just float there. They're filled with, well, I guess it's helium. It can't just be air. It's not like a balloon, right? It's got to be helium. Let's learn more about this, okay? But in the old days, in their heyday, there were luxurious, slow-moving flying machines. The European people, Europeans and other people, rich people, used, the elite, used for entertainment. It was not unlike what we have today when we have cruise ships, right? You go on a cruise ship. There were dining rooms, gourmet meals. It was served on fine china. There were cabins for passengers with private baths, cocktail lounges, all this stuff. Then in 1937, you might all remember in history, the crash of the Hindenburg. One of these Zeppelins came down. It was called the Hindenburg. It was named after Hindenburg. who was he? Was he one of the, he's one of the big German guys. Big German. He really was a big German guy. He was a blimp. Maybe that's why they called him blimps. Because he was a blimp. Wasn't Hindenburg fat? That's the name of my new book. You could get it this week. It comes out. Wasn't Hindenburg fat? In 1937, this thing came down, and of course it became one of the great radio broadcasts of all time. Because they were following, this was, I think, the largest Zeppelin of all time, and it was just, it was launched, and God knows what happened to it. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe you could find out. If you look through it, the Hindenburg crashed. Oh, the humanity! And I don't remember that guy's name, but you must have sometime in your life heard that broadcast, which was live. While it was destroyed and bone, okay? And anyway, right after that, the jet airplanes came out and regular, you know, by 1940, after the Hindenburg and stuff, the Zeppelins, blimps were pretty much, that was it. The fad was over. But today, slow as they are, Zeppelins are making a comeback. Isn't this fascinating? And what's fascinating about this to me is that this giant analog nothing, this space, this is definitely putting nothing where something once was. If something is just air, what do you need to put this gigantic piece of flying, slow flying nothing there? Okay? Zeppelins making a comeback. Just like many of the things. Look at what happens. This was not happening in 1940 and 1937, because new things were coming about. So today there's a lot of rehashing, there's a lot of updating, there's a lot of digitalizing, there's a lot of updating of old stuff. Look at Broadway. Look at the theater, right? Movies become plays, old plays become redone plays, you know, this, cause, you know, you can even do production better on Broadway. Okay, so the point is that the digital world, digital math, is making all this possible. Here comes the Zeppelin. Herta Krull, who is a retired AAA Central Penn travel agent, who's probably not mentioned anywhere on radio except for here, specializes in international travel and Zeppelin aficionada. Okay? Herta Krull, what a name! Sounds like one of the names you read in one of my stories or books. Herta Krull. C-U-R-L-L. He's a Zeppelin aficionado. Okay, thrilled. He, is it a he or she? I don't even know. What kind of a name is Herta? H-E-R-T-A. Is that a, I'm going to say it's a she. How about you? Okay, let's say it's a she. Thrilled. She is thrilled to see the comeback. And she had a client take a Zeppelin ride while visiting Germany, because they're still there in Germany. Since 1991, according to this article, company in Friedrichshafen, am I saying that right, German, my German listeners? Friedrichshafen. It's probably Friedrichshafen. Friedrichshafen. That's what it is. Friedrichshafen. You can't say Friedrichshafen. You can't say Friedrichshafen. Because it's still one of the harshest languages in the world, and it's not a Romance language. That's the Zeppelin's home base now. Friedrichshafen. There are short tourist rides now available on the Zeppelin NT. Now look at this. You know how everything has like 1.1, 2.1, the new version of software, right? And how that particular way of labeling things has now become a kind of a cultural way of saying, talking about anything. Oh, this is TV 1.1, 2.1 if it's new, 3.1 as they fix it, add more features. It's called Zeppelin NT, capital N, capital T, stands for new technology. The new technology Zeppelin is out there. The flights range from half an hour to an hour and a half, and they give an over-the-top view of Munich, Cologne, Zurich, and other small towns out there, if you're over there. Okay, the prices, you ready for these? You ready for these prices? $300 or close to it. And if you want to experience something different, rides in Zeppelins are available from March through September. Now, the NT has added safety features, and here's the big one, okay, so that there are no more Hindenburgs. How about non-flammable helium fills the airship? Okay, so first of all, I'm right, it was helium. But you tell me, and maybe you can, what's the matter with you? What's non-flammable helium? So advanced is this world right now that there is non-flammable helium. You can torch it. Torch that helium. You put it, torch it. It's not going to blow up. And what's odd is that there'd probably be no smoking. You know, in the old days, of course, there was no such thing as you didn't go into a Zeppelin and see a sign that said no smoking, or you didn't go into a Zeppelin, this is a smoke-free environment, or das ist Wunschensmachmann Freeman. You didn't, no. For God's sake. If you were German back then, especially if you were not, was there a Nazi on the face of the earth who did not smoke cigarettes? I ask you, let's think about this for a second. You had your swastika, you had your midnight debauchery sessions, torture, hating of anybody who wasn't of the supreme race, freedom to conquer the world and just kill people who want, right? All this stuff. You've seen Schindler's List. And you had cigarettes. That was part of the uniform. I'll bet you, I'm willing to bet this, although I don't even know how we would find anybody who would win this bet. Was there ever a Nazi who did not smoke? This book that I've written is coming out after extensive research. Was there ever a Nazi who did not smoke? By Frank Cotolo. Come down to Border Books, where I'll be touring across the country signing that book and any other book you want me to sign. Was there ever a Nazi? You see, this is looking between the lines here. Was there ever a Nazi who didn't smoke? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, I know most U.S. smoke. I'll bet you there were U.S. soldiers during the Second World War who didn't smoke. Of course there were. Not everybody smoked. I'm just saying to you that, you know, when there were Zeppelins back in those days, people were smoking on the Zeppelin. You didn't walk into a Zeppelin restaurant or any kind of cafe or whatever they have up there. You could probably even smoke in bed. But I'll bet you, dollars of donuts, you buy the donuts, there's never a Nazi, even today, because there are Nazis, they're neo-Nazis. And they are way nothing like neo-postmodernists. Don't confuse just because they have neo in front of them, okay? Just means new. They all smoke. They all smoked cigarettes. So in those days, I guess, the fact that it would be very possible that the helium being flammable, maybe that's what happened to the Hindenburg. Maybe that's what happened to the Hindenburg. What's the matter with you? Right? Maybe that's what happened to the Hindenburg. These are very lyrical sayings. That's why I embrace the fact that they could be book titles. Maybe that's what happened to the Hindenburg. But isn't it fascinating? Until tonight, did you even know that existing on God's green earth is a substance called non-flammable helium. No less. That new Zeppelins, Zeppelin NTs, are being filled with them. In the new one, the new Zeppelin, the new technology Zeppelin, passengers sit comfortably in a cabin, and it has a capacity of 14. Whoa, hey, Is it even worth the helium to get them up there? Well, at $300 a clip, it is. Well, that's why it's so expensive. You can't be going up and down and up and down. It's like a roller coaster. Although, if you go on a roller, there's a roller coaster. I mentioned this when I did the Brooklyn program, called the Cyclone, which is $5 a ride. And it doesn't last anywhere near. As long as a Zeppelin. How do I know how long a Zeppelin ride lives? I don't even know. 14 feet. It's, you know what, it's not, it is not handicap accessible. Oh boy, leave it to Germans. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Germans are wonderful people. So if you're handicapped, don't expect to go in a Zeppelin, which is just another wonderful name for a book. If you're handicapped, don't expect to ride in a Zeppelin by Frank Cotolo. You know, if I wrote all these books, we could have a store like Border Books just with my books in it. There would be about everything and anything. Children under 2 are not permitted. So there's your conditions. No children under 2. And let's face it, would a child under 2 appreciate a Zeppelin? My point here is that here they are as novelty items and rides and expensive rides, but that does mean you're going to see them. Maybe you will see them. Now, you do see them. Wait a second. We still see them as commercial vehicles. I know if you – yes, they do. And they don't take people in them, but they've got to be someone driving them. And they carry those – they drag those streams, those giant signs behind them, and companies or events hire it. Or even the candidates running for offices hire it so that up in the air, a Zeppelin, a blimp, is on a commercial journey, and the flag behind it says, vote for Schindler, or it says, Coppertone, or, you know, buy Wonder Bread, helps build bodies 8 ways. That'd be a long one, but these are long anyway. They're gigantic. Do you realize how gigantic they have to be if you can see them and read them? On the ground, how big those signs must be. So anyway, that's where you see, and lots of times they have those rotating. You see this on, you saw this in movies, and you see it sometimes on sporting events, and it has this rotating, what is that? The thing with the bulbs that has the words on it. I don't know. Today it's kind of like, I don't think it's an LED, but the thing with the bulbs was around long before there was the LED technology, but the bulbs in it, and you read it. And it says things like, vote for Schindler or whatever, or Coppertone or anything like that. So the Zeppelins are used for that. But when I was a child, you'd see Zeppelins all the time, and they'd be doing all sorts of things. And people would always stop and go, look, there's a blimp. See, in Brooklyn, where I lived, and most of New York, where I hung out before I started traveling, that's what they were, blimps. And later on, a sandwich company opened a franchise that of stores that made sandwiches, and they called them Blimpies, which of course was a, see, this is like, this is not like, this is a neo-postmodern stream. Why did they call them Blimpies? Because they were sub sandwiches, but instead of submarines, because sandwiches that have long, you know, the long bread, and it's one big long hero sandwiches, they were called in New York, they're called Subway. Subway sandwiches, of course, in Quiznos, put out these Subways. Subway sandwiches, a train, which is long, okay, so it's a Subway, that was New York also. But Blimpies, because the sandwich was like a blimp. It was just a big, a long, fat sandwich filled with stuff. And that's all a Zeppelin is a big, fat a flying machine filled with stuff. And in those days, flammable stuff. These days, unflammable stuff. And, like, it follows suit. If you look at the Quiznos and the Subways today, I don't think there's Blimpies anymore, even in New York. Is there still Blimp? Does anyone have, are there Blimpy sandwich shops? Maybe there are. Maybe they're still in New York. They didn't make it throughout the country like Subways and now this Quiznos thing. Oh, what's a Quiznos anyway? And what does that have to do with a sandwich? The point is, let's look at how this works. If you were going to start, and in those days, and we're talking as late as the 70s when they started this Blimpy, equating the sandwich to the blimp, as opposed to a submarine, because everybody knew what a submarine was, okay, maybe that's why it never really made it outside of New York or the East, because that's where they had blimps. And people equated it because they knew blimps. Everybody growing up in the 70s knew blimps. They were still blimps. You could see blimps in the air. There were And there were blimps for commercials. There were blimps, especially on the beaches. And you still see them on the beaches for commercial purposes. If you go to, you know, Atlantic City, you go around the beaches of New Jersey, the South, the shore. I saw a couple in the shore last year when I was there. And, but you see what I'm saying? The blimpy sandwiches have been known as submarines, heroes. I used to love that. That has nothing to do with blimps or trains or what the sandwich, a hero sandwich. Because you had to be a hero to eat one. You had to be, and what, you know, connotation of a hero. You had to be a, right? And that's a big, strong, courageous person, right? Someone who's done something fabulous, a hero sandwich. But Blimpy used the blimp, the Zeppelin, as a model, as opposed to saying a submarine sandwich, okay? In Pennsylvania, they'd be only known as subs, submarines, subs, because there still are submarines. Now there still are Zeppelins. In, when I was a kid also, there was this Italian bread, it's not a bread, it's like, you know that pizza, you know they make, they bake pizza, which means pie in Italian. That's what it means. It's never say pizza pie, because you're saying pie pie. See? It's not pizza pie. I can't believe people say pizza pie. Because pizza is nothing. Pizza is a pie. It's Italian for pie. So if it's a pepperoni pizza, it's a pepperoni pie. It's a cheese pizza, it's a cheese pie. If it's a cheese pizza pie, it's a cheese pie pie. It's ridiculous. You know, don't mix up words. Even if we've adopted the word pizza not to mean this is a big round thing with or square thing, right? Deep dish pizza, not pie. Because it's round and it has nothing to do with it. But the blimp, and the blimpy is the blimp, but there was also, and I don't know what this means in Italian, but there was this little cake that was baked just like pizzas are baked, but it's a cake. It's just a fluffy little cake. It's not a cake. It's kind of a bready, cuff. It's like the crust of pizza, thinner, and it has a, and it's just fluffy. It was called the Zeppole. Zeppoles. And I used to think, when I was a kid, that the Zeppo, the cake, because it, I guess in my head, I could see it was named after Zeppelins. And I used to joke around, see, even back then, my neo-postmodernism was working. And what did they think? They thought I was crazy, even then. Then they didn't have Ritalin and stuff like that, or they would have been shoving that crap down me. Well, my mother probably wouldn't have let them do it, but they would have been shoving that crap. They would have been saying, because as it was, they couldn't figure out what the hell I was talking about half the time. But let's not talk about me. The point I'm trying to make is that you get this is a neo-postmodernist point. You make these associations. And so when I was a kid, I used to go to the pizza place, which, of course, were, you know, down in New York. Those days, those are real Italians. Those are real Italians. I'm not saying that the Italians that came to Pennsylvania to work in stone buildings or the Italians that went to California, though they were not real Italians. Yeah, but the Italians, the ones who first came over. So what's the matter with you? Na, 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 na. Okay, those were real Italians. New York. That's where we all first came. That's where the ancestors first came. So the point I'm trying to make is those pizza places back in the 50s when they started popping up like bars. Because there were many bars in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. At that time, there weren't many bars. There wasn't much of anything in Staten Island. The days when Staten Island was like a countryside. Okay? It wasn't a thriving city. Borough. I should say, the borough. But back then, you could get Zeppoles, and I'm having Zeppole at a pizza place where the real Italians used to make calzones. Today you can still get calzones because, you know, that's just a big Zeppole with cheese inside of it. Okay? But they used to go to Zeppoles. And I used to go, can I have Zeppelins? Can I have Zeppelins? Hey, you shut that kid up and get him out of here. You're keeping that kid shut. Or they'd laugh. If I was that small. When I was smaller, my mother, you know, you couldn't go out and get my own pizza. I want a Zeppelin, Mom. I don't know if I talked like that, but in my head, see, I'm making up that character that Frank had told. Can I have a Zeppelin, Mom? Can I have a Zeppelin? Vinny, Johnny, right? The names of the pizza people. Can I have a Zeppelin? And he would say, yeah, he's a funny, he wants a Zeppelin. Hey, we got him out of here. Okay, come on out of here. He's a pain in the keister. Pain in the keister. You know what the keister is? Yeah, I think you have an idea. These things are coming back. See, it's the Zeppelin NT. The Zeppelin NT. What does that tell you? And there's a lot of things like that. A lot of things like that. We're going to see this happen in cars. I guarantee you that these things that are now antique cars, because they're gas guzzlers, these old Pontiacs, these old Chryslers, these old Buicks, you watch as the technology and the energy thing changes, and it's no longer going to mean what it means, gas guzzlers, polluters, you're going to, and all that other stuff, if that means anything. I don't know. Don't ask me about those things, okay? I mean, I don't want to study them. I don't want to find out about them. I simply don't care. I have no room in my... I have no room. Do you have room? Do you realize that you have the space in your brain and your emotions and your heart and your being? Do you realize that you only have so much space to care about this, that, or the other thing? And that it's hard enough to care about yourself and a few others? That if you're sitting back and you think you want to care for the entire world and everybody in it, you're just wasting your life. I'm not saying you shouldn't be kind. I'm not saying you shouldn't be generous. I'm not saying you shouldn't be aware or thoughtful. I'm just saying that care, okay, don't go out of your way. You don't have enough room in your being to do that. And I think that's the true lesson of Jesus, isn't it? I mean, you know, how can you save the world? You can't go out there and save the world. Care one person at a time. Do what you got to do, okay? But don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't chew more than you can swallow. Don't swallow more. This can keep going on, can't it? I don't even know. Swallow more than you could digest. Don't digest more than you could pass. You take it the whole way. You see, you get the idea, right? I'm sure you do. What's the matter with you? I want to know. What is the matter with you?
You are listening to Crotolo Chronicles.
That's right. Yeah.
Crotolo Chronicles is brought to you by The Shortstop, casual jeans and slacks for short men.
Yeah.
Visit us at theshortstop.com.
Frank Crotolo makes me smile. Frank Crotolo makes me dance.
But while you're dancing... Do you dance in the pants that give you the romance? Do you dance in the pants that give you the romance with someone you care about? Even if you dance alone, do you dance in the pants that come from theshortstop.com? Because if you don't, you should. If you're going to go and take a Zeppelin ride, you're going to need to save money. And if you want to save money on pants, then do it by going to the Shortstop. You're not just saving money on pants. If you paid a dollar more for a Shortstop.com pair of jeans, what would you pay your tailor? There's this, you know, tailors, they're not even going to be tailors anymore, are they, sooner or later? That's what I meant about the cars. And the cars are going to come back. That style is going to come back. Like the Zeppelins come back. Style, the car is going to come back in a different style. I mean, yeah, different style than now. It's going to look like it did more futuristically as it did in the past. And they can do that because they'll be sturdier. They'll be stronger. They won't be death traps. And they'll be big. And they won't eat up gas because they won't be gas. There'll be something else. You know, cornmeal, juice, ethanol, I don't know. You'll be stuffing wheat. You'll just take big balls of wheat. There's a handfuls of wheat. You'll go out and you'll buy wheat. And you just take and you stuff it. And you'll have one of those things like having a cannon to stuff it into your car. And the car will run on that. You laugh all you want. But do you think you do? You know, did you ever think that digital math would be allowing you to do what you're doing now, listening to me say this crap? Or that you'd be able to buy pants that don't have to be altered on the internet? No less even think there would be an internet, an information superhighway. Seatbelts not required. You can do it at theshortstop.com. So go over there. Buy yourself some pants. You gotta have pants. Gotta have, remember that song? Gotta have love. Gotta have, Gotta have love, gotta have peace. Yeah, that was one of those songs that didn't realize there's only so much, you only have so much room in your being for the stuff that you, that people tell you to do. You should be politically minded, you should know what's going on around you, you should know your local representatives, you should know your state representatives, you should know their national representatives, you should know the issues, you should know the people, you should know the, it's like, oh my God, I'm already tired, I'm going to sleep. That's it. You try in your life to be, to catch up. You try in your life to in, to put everything you can inside of your body. This is why you wind up, if you're, you're not a neo-postmodernist, but this is why they say you get too much information, too much responsibility, too much of a burden. You are carrying around luggage that is just ridiculous. You don't have enough room if you're using, certainly if you're using only 3% of your brain, and I got news for you. That's an average. Most of us means, that means most of us are way below that 3% thing. How could you carry all this information, all the, this responsibility as a human being on mankind? I just think you're not doing yourself, you're not making yourself the strongest, most loving, caring person you could be if you're trying to be the most loving, caring person you could be. See, and then if you put that above the true cares that you have in your life, need in your life, and pay attention to in your life, people, places, and things, nouns, if you put that above, if you make your circle too big, you're done for. I say circle because I recently saw 10,000 BC, which is a fable. It's just, it's not really about 10,000 BC. But then again, it was a movie called 1 million BC. It was nothing to do with 1 million BC. Because let me tell you something, back in those days, if there was someone like Raquel Welch running around the way she was as a cave lady, I don't think she would have lasted too long with cavemen around her, right? Talk about suppression of women. How about that? How about if there really was someone like Raquel Welch running around in days of cavemen and cave, oh my God. Oh my, it's like the clan of the, what was that move? That book was big. The clan of the bear, cave of the clan bear. It's like, wasn't it something like that with Daryl Hannah? Oh my God. Are they nuts? What's the matter with you? You're one of those clan bear cave people, whatever it is. Cave of the Clan Bear. I think that was a big book. And then a giant one where the movie stunk, I think, and just bombed. But Daryl Hannah was in the movie. And you just go and you watch, you go like, oh, come on. If that's what she looks, they look like, if that's what they're saying, then forget it. This would be an entire movie. It would be like 2 hours of men just chasing these women, trying to poke them. I mean, that's all it would be. Come on. I don't say that now because that's politically incorrect. And news for your history is politically incorrect. The entire world is everybody, everything. Is the political incorrectness is perfection. A lot of it's funny too. And I'm against it because I really think we need to think. Get me off a Zeppelin. Can I have a Zeppelin? Get him out of here. He's no good. He's a kid. He does nothing but make trouble. You know, I was going to talk about this other thing too, but it's just so, it's not speaking of anything. This is an entire topic, I think. This thing about the intention of the artist. I was going to talk about this, and it sounds to me like it's a 2-hour program, and maybe I could get some people or a person or two to talk as a guest and talk about that. So I'm not going to talk about this other thing too, especially the stuff about, you know, who you are. And I mean, I had that on the blog too. Do you regret who you are, who you were, or something you did or something you should have done? Because there's a new study. I guess I could get into that too, but let's see if there's anything else here too. I did promise that we're going to, and we are going to follow up on this Satan stuff. I told you that here locally in Pennsylvania, where we do this program here, thanks to Canada, that there was some satanic activity, and we had, and I was going to get the person who wrote the story on the program, but I really can't do that. So let's forget about her. She's done a billion other things anyway, and she's just a reporter. So, gently, if you're just a reporter, you don't specialize in anything, you don't really know the topic you're reporting. You realize that? If you're a generic person, oh, you're good, you know, you learn journalism, and you learn to report news, about things you don't know. So the person who wrote that story just reported it, did not know anything about satanic, things. Now I know that, Dee Schellhammer, the artist Dee, does know about that stuff, and I was going to talk to Dee on a show. Dee was on last week with Charlotte Pekowski. I was going to talk to Dee, but I didn't. You can go ahead, and let me do a little commercial here too. Go to theartistdee.com, get the latest fabulous Dee program. You could also. Here's what you can do. Why don't you download onto it and then burn on a disc the fabulous Dee program, which is really a spinoff of Cthulhu Chronicles, and this program, Cthulhu Chronicles, with me, Frank Cthulhu. And then put that on in your car. Okay? Here you go. But anyway, I said I was going to do a follow-up, and there was a follow-up, because not close to here, but further than here. Close to here. Not here in this particular vicinity, but in this area, at least a 40, 50-minute drive, vandals spray-painted satanic and anti-religious symbols inside a Lancaster County church. And they set fire to a hymnal sometime recently. A hymnal? H-Y-M-N-A-L. What's a hymnal? I don't know what a hymnal is. Let's see if we read beyond. The vandals wreaked havoc, according to the report, inside the Wakefield Bible Church in Fulton Township, in Lancaster. They wrote, "Satan and God is dead," and a hymnal on the floor next to the pulpit is charred from fire. Okay, a hymnal is probably, see, I just do this with my head. I just do this, I just like deduce this the way Sherlock Holmes would do it. A hymnal is probably that little area where the people, the choir, stays and they sing the hymns. They call it a hymnal. Right? Okay, so that was burned. And the words, and upside, oh, wait, they spray painted. The church sanctuary is spray painted with an upside down cross, the word Satan and God is dead. The upside down cross, of course, is the symbol of Satan. Satanic symbol things. I don't know if it's Satan. I don't know where that comes. Many people made these things up. Where is it? Is there a black Bible? Is there a Satan book that people have that supposedly the fallen right hand of God has in literature, being known as Satan, who used to be Lucifer? Is there a book? Did he write a Bible that those guys follow? I don't know that. So we need to find out. The basement of the church was littered with pages torn from the regular Bible. The world-renowned Bible. The Bible of Bibles. The vandals also defaced many of the congregation's religious paintings. This is just stupid. And even in the name of Satan, this is stupid. It doesn't accomplish anything. You would think Satan would want to accomplish something. You know, here's what's funny about it. It's just out-and-out vandalism. And you would think, I would think, that if there was someone named Satan, that he would be a little bit more clever. Because he once was Lucifer, and he stood at the right hand, or was the left hand. I don't know, he was like God's next, and the next guy. He was like the Speaker of the House, the Speaker of Heaven, the Speaker of the House of Heaven. He was the Vice God. You know, there's God and Vice God, like the Vice President. In case God cannot fulfill his powers, and the Vice God will take over. And that's why Lucifer wanted, according to, I say legend, according to scripture, according to whatever, that's why he wanted to do that. Now, remember that you didn't think I knew this much about this stuff, but I do. And that's why I feel I have a right, I've earned a right to be able to comment upon it. And that is that Lucifer wanted the top spot. He wanted the God spot. If you don't find this in your local Bible, go read Dante, D-A-N-T-E. Put that, write this down, put it in your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. Dante, Dante's Inferno. Read about the fall and it's a little difficult to read. Granted, it's an epic poem, but you know, it's still, you can read it. It says what's going on. It's not that flowery. It's not that nuts. But anyway, here it is. Lucifer became Satan when he lost the battle of heaven because he tried to take over from God, thinking he could take over the top position. It's kind of like 7 Days in May. Remember that movie? Where Burt Lancaster tried to take over Frederick March as the president? Okay, it's true, it is, because Lucifer was the, that could have been a metaphor. 7 Days in May could have been a metaphor for the battle in heaven. Okay, but here's my point. My point is that Lucifer became Satan, he started hell, and his own little world down there, which was going to be anti everything with God, he's going to do, he's just going to keep going. So when he, and then there was that Garden of Eden thing, because God created this place and started mankind and did all this stuff because, well, we don't know why, because he just felt like doing it one day. And anyway, he got himself into a mess of trouble by creating humans. And just, it was, hey, look, you know, it's like God said, when things started going wrong, God's assistants, who were no longer, you know, Lucifer and stuff like that, then what happened? You're God. How did you, God can't screw up a one-car funeral, can he? And it was like, and God was just, hey, it looked good on paper, you know, because it shows even God can err, which means errors must be divine. Because if God can only do divine things, then to err is to divine. To forgive is to, they say, to forgive is to divine. To err is human. To forgive is to divine, is divine. I got news for you. To err is divine. Because even God erred. But here's my point. Back to my point. Here's Satan. He screwed up that entire thing for God when God created this world and stuff. And he was smart. He said, I'll go up there as a, you know what I'll do? I'll go up there as a snake. I'll go into that place. First of all, he gets into Eden. You would think a place created by God, and he couldn't get in, but he gets in. That means he's smart. He's smart. Not like everybody thinks he is. He's Satan. He's Satan.
I can handle things.
That's right. That's Satan.
Like everybody says,
that's what he's telling me.
Like dumb, but
no.
Smart. He's, and I want
that's what
I'm
Satan.
Smart.
That's Satan.
I'm smart.
That's,
I'm
so
I'm
Satan
smart.
Being
I'm
very smart.
Smart.
So the point is that Satan's very smart. He's smart enough to get into Eden, and he's smart enough to find the weakest link. You are the weakest link. You are the weakest link. You are the weakest link. And the weakest link is woman, who comes from man, if you know the story and how it works, right? Woman of man. See. So the point is, he plays on her, because he knows if he gets her to eat the apple, which is the one forbidden thing she can't do, then it's all over, and he's pretty much screwed God out of his wonderful place that he started. I don't know why God couldn't start another one. He was God, for God's sake. But anyway, if Satan, that's Satan, he's clever, he's smart. Satan is, for all due purposes, very, he is. He's that's
I'm
Satan,
smart.
There he is.
I'm smart.
If he's that smart, okay, what is he doing telling kids? It's assuming these are kids. I don't know who these are. Okay. People in Pennsylvania. Let's just say people in Pennsylvania. So the same guy who was able to really make a mess out of God's great work in Eden and mankind. This is pretty much just destroyed mankind right there, right? That same guy, a clever guy, a clever anti-God, whatever it was. What does he do? You mean to tell me he tells people on earth to go to a church and light things on fire, turn a cross upside down, and burn a place where people sing? It's not smart. He's smart. Satan's smart. So that's what's nuts about this stuff. And deface the congregation's religious paintings. That's what he makes them do. That's the big sign. Yeah, that's it. Oh my goodness, are we scared now? You can take real things. You can take things and destroy them. We can all take things and destroy them. They're it's of the Mayan world. It's above ground. It's just stuff. Even though symbols are very important, we know that, but come on, Satan, you're smarter than that, aren't you? You know, start a war, create another couple of, Osama bin Laden's. I mean, create more create people who just terrorize and do things for the sake of it. Monsters like Hitler. People who think that what they believe is true at the cost of other people's freedom, lives, and everything. That's Satan. Not a bunch of people who go into a church on Robert Fulton Highway in Lancaster, Pennsylvania and rip up a Bible. That's crazy. It's not even worth it. And it doesn't look like the work of Satan. If there is a Satan, let's face it, right? The church pastor lives next door to the Wakefield Bible Church. He said he saw lights on in the sanctuary around 11 p.m. Probably while he was drinking tomorrow's communion wine. That's terrible, isn't it? To say that? Well, why not? If I was a pastor at the church, that's what I'd be doing at 11 p.m. Anyway, he went to check it out and he said he found the damage at 11 p.m. So by 11 p.m. there was damage. He also said he saw two teenagers, a male and a female, running from the church. He said the female had short blonde hair. End of report. Well, that narrows it down. Doesn't it? Or is that Rush Limbaugh thing with the hands? Huh? Now, what about Hillary? You know what? Rush Limbaugh is a Zeppelin. I know he lost weight, but he's a fat head. And I think that his head is still filled with helium that is flammable. This editorial has been brought to you by Cthulhu Chronicles. And this is Make no mistake about it.
You are listening to Cthulhu Chronicles.
And we're here, as we are, live almost every Thursday of the year. Coming up, Y2K plus 8. So that's my Satan. That's the follow-up to what's happening here in Pennsylvania. And if I can get any of those people, and I would love to do this. I'd love to find out who one of these people are. Maybe not the vandals. Maybe they're not vandals. Just put out a call. And have one of them here live on the program. Live. Or on a phone. Maybe on a phone so that I wouldn't see
them. Didn't happen.
No, I know. To be able to discuss this.
It didn't happen, Frank.
And maybe we'd see how we could, it's probably pretty funny how serious they are.
Yeah, I know.
Also, I mentioned a while ago, and we tried to have this wonderful man on.
What?
Todd, his name is.
What?
And he has, he works with a group, speaking of,
no, he
of
never
doing things and kick.
Be quiet, Frank. That's enough. How the heck did it get to the devil there, huh? See, when there's a topic, the topic can stray, can go elsewhere, because we just do we just talk into the microphone, and one thing leads to another, because that's exactly the way things happen. One thing leads to another. Now, I'm sure that if you are on the live stream, Tom Savino is coming up. I haven't heard anything about him not being here, and yet he is absent at the moment. But, you know, you just listen. Just keep listening. If Tom Savino doesn't come on, then whatever else comes on, or nothing comes on, or you can go to sleep. We've always been pretty popular in the UK, and would include, so the United Kingdom, because, you know, it's not just England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. I can't even say it like that quickly. But there, it's, let's see, it'll be 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, it'll be 4 in the morning. So really like one of those real late night shows for them. In Baghdad, on the other hand, we've always been the morning zoo. I know that sounds weird, but it's not, because we don't give them the temperature. We don't give them what's going on. And then here, and this is, you know, we're back live at Y2K plus 18. I'm here. Okay. So now we never got around to this other thing, and I don't know if we can. Let me see if I could even give you a quick idea of what the heck we were going to do here by just opening up the internet broken brain. This is what I was going to get into, and we do have a few minutes here, so let me see. This comes from Esquire magazine. More way in, it's about content addiction. Content addiction. So, this guy, two people, Craig T. Nelson. Now that's not the actor, Craig T. Nelson. It's Craig Krang. K-R-A-N-G T. Nelson. This guy had to make up his name. No one who isn't a robot names their child Krang, or someone from Krypton, if there is a Krypton, or thinks they're from Krypton. Ashley Feinberg, on the other hand, is a perfectly fine name. It's a Feinberg name. This was about content addiction. So let's see if we can get this real quick here. Twitter broke my brain. I'm not alone. I'm reading from this article. Twitter broke my brain. I'm not alone. New research from Pew. You've heard about them. They do research. Found that 77% of Americans go online daily. Don't ask me what the other ones do. But 26% claim to be online almost constantly. Now, is that 26% of those 77% say they're online almost constantly? Wow. So while they're eating, while they're, I guess, well, sleeping, they could be sleeping and keep it online, like, you know, next to them. Wow, that's really, that's an amazing figure right there. Reading this, says the writer, brought me back to one day a few months ago when I went outside for a cigarette, bringing my phone and cocktail with me. After a couple minutes of scrolling, Tom Savino just checked in. So he will be here for you live streamers. He will be here shortly. It says here, after a couple minutes of scrolling, whatever timer in my brain that governs my subconscious behavior went off, and they got up to go back inside, still holding an unlighted cigarette in my hand. I changed the English so it's correct. Unlighted, not unlit. This person had an addiction to Twitter that had overridden the addiction to nicotine. Can you imagine this? A smoker who became more addicted, I guess, or less addicted. I guess I could be more addicted and less addicted. No, you're addicted means you have to. Was not addicted anymore to cigarettes because the addiction had turned into Twitter. And said, naturally. And the writer says, that's probably not good. So naturally, I tweeted about it. Much like psychologists are supposed to avoid armchair diagnosis, it's unethical to project internet broken brain. This is what they're calling it. Internet broken brain is calling the addiction into someone you don't know personally, but it is similar to the scumbag's sixth sense. I don't know what, I don't get that phrase, but let's go on. A real scumbag. Wow. They use this word in a, and like it used to be like a really bad word to use, can parachute into any town or any situation and easily sniff out the guy holding drugs. This is the writer, I spent last week wandering around the internet in search of people like me, the writer. They weren't hard to find. They're right in our face every minute of the day. Last week we learned, okay, bye. What? That's it? When literally anything happens, what is this? Yeah, this Twitter stuff is weird. Feinberg is a HuffPost reporter, a first ballot inductee for Extremely Online Hall of Fame. She's a dogged reporter. She's hilarious, and she's leveraged her Twitter addiction for a good number of times. Okay. Well, apparently there is this thing called content addiction. Content addiction is, I don't have that. Do you have that? Do you have to be online or somewhere or looking at what's happening at all times? I don't understand that because I have a son who does that. Ray Catolo, the heir apparent to this show, whenever it ends, for me, that phone is always on. Millennials are mostly on. I had a random millennial. There's a person I know, who I invited on the show. But you know, some people, especially millennials, they're a little weird about coming on the show. And that's the way people always have been anyway. Some introverted people don't want to sit here and talk with me. And there, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who don't want to sit here and talk with me. There's a local person, so Maybe we'll get this person on eventually. But let me tell you this. My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And coming up shortly, for those of you listening to the live stream, Mr. Thomas Savino and Savino Veritas. Tom's going to be on this show again. I know I had said that he's another person I want to have on. Maybe one day when, overnight, when he runs a repeat or takes a night off, he'll come here instead and we'll be, jovial and jolly. Maybe we'll do the Three Amigos and get Tom Martin on with us. I promised you that too. I try to keep my promise. Although there is that one show, about suspended belief that I've been talking about for a dozen years at least, and I've never done it. I never took the subject. I don't know what I was waiting to. Why am I waiting? Why am I still waiting? Maybe we'll put that on the list. There are some new topics that I could. I want to talk about also one of these shows, what it's like to be a true conservative, all right? And how conservatives are wrong about their label, their own label. But then again, you know me, I'm going to live by the definition of things. I'm not going to let them take it away from me. I won't be anywhere live recently, so you're just going to have to listen or listen to Cotullo Chronicles. There's that. See, now it's my right ear. It went up two octaves. I'm going to be nowhere in particular, so you can't come see me live yet. I'm not in April. And then you'd have to travel. Who's going to travel in town to see it? Look, forget what I just said. I am live, and you can hear me live here when I'm on live. That would be next week, as I said, the 29th. I don't know who or if there will be a who to get on. There will be Marla Martinson. I got to get her on Tom Savino's show, too, because he's really into that stuff, too. He's astral projected. You have, haven't you, Tom? Tom is astral projected. So we got to get Marla Martinson on the show. In fact, everybody go to MarlaMartinson.com. Marla Martinson. That's M-A-R-T-E-N-S-O-N, I believe. If it's not, then throw an E in there with a son as an N or something. And maybe you'll get her there. What in the meantime? She'll be here on the 5th. And I know she's going to, and maybe she'll be here. Maybe she'll astral project and be here with me. Right? Maybe that. I don't know. Maybe. That'll be fun. That would be, how do you say it? Impossible. But anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, here comes the theme. We've done it again, a little live and a little history from a long time ago when we were here. You know what to do and you know where to go. You know where to go. Don't say that. Don't. And I hope you've written down a lot of the things that we talked about and you will take them. Not for granted. Take them for what it's worth. In the meantime, good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. It's me, Frank Cotullo, and I think I've had it for now. Why don't we hand you over to someone with more distinct and distinct satirical approaches? Because he thinks about it. I don't. It's wonderful. Tom is going to take over here shortly. I'll see you next time, and I'll leave you now. Why? Because I have nothing more to say.